Peter was a water walker, wasn't he? We are water walkers as well. Amen. Peter was a water walker, and he experienced kingdom authority over chaotic circumstances. Over fear and over all kinds of chaos, he experienced kingdom authority. We are all called to experience kingdom authority no matter what type of chaotic circumstance might be sent your way, whether it's natural or whether it's demonic, it doesn't really matter, because you still have authority over it. Job 9:8, God treads on the waves of the sea. Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on water. We are called to walk on water. Treads on the waves of the sea. Peter walks out, steps out, and he steps into the realm of the miraculous. And I believe that's where some of us need to be right now here today, stepping out and stepping on to the realm of the miraculous. Look at Matthew. Let's look at Matthew. I'm going to first start off with Matthew 14, and verse 25, then we're going to go back up. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, because Jesus walked on water. Hallelujah. He went out to them walking on the sea. Thank you, Father. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They said, it's a ghost. Oh, no, it's a ghost. Well, it's a Holy Ghost, but not a ghost like you think. Holy, yes. Peter answered. Well, let me go back. Verse 27, sorry. But immediately Jesus spoke to them because they were crying out in fear. Immediately he spoke to them. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter, he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Lord, I thank you that as we read through this passage of scripture here tonight, I thank you that I am looking at a bunch of water walkers tonight. And their faith is going to increase. And they're going to recognize that everything that the enemy meant for evil, you're working for good. And they're going to defy the enemy assignments. Ah, yes. And they will not allow the enemy's tactics to have its way, not one more moment in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus modeled the behavior that he wants us to walk in. And so he walked on water, right? He walked on water to show us what is possible, what we are possible of doing. You know, the storm that was sent was not a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. They were not caught in the storm by accident. You're not caught in a storm by accident. They were sent. They were sent into this storm, into this wind by obedience. Now let's read starting in verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Jesus, who knows all things, knew that the storm was going to rise, but he said, get into the boat and let's go on to the other side. He wasn't trying to trick them, but he knew that there was going to be a victorious release if they just listened and obeyed and saw the power of God. The only way your faith grows is when you see the power of God's word in your own life personally. Your faith starts to soar. So he tells them, he says, get into the boat, go to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. They were not sent into that storm by mistake. Obedience. They were being obedient unto the Lord. They may have been tossed by the winds. It might have been contrary, the winds and the waves. But yet Jesus was right there, close by anyway, praying. And he's still praying. And he's still right there praying no matter what. Amen? It says, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Their boat was in the middle of that sea. But Jesus got done praying in the fourth watch of the night. So while it was still dark out, And sometimes you might think, is this answer to prayer ever going to come about? When is it going to come about? It's like a dark season. It was dark out. It was the fourth watch of the night when Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. He went out and he defied the natural laws to come and to rescue his very own. And we know that Jesus has not changed. His word has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in this fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They knew him. They walked with him. He taught them. They saw miraculous displays of power, but they were troubled when they saw what they saw. But yet they were in a storm and they were afraid. But the answer was on its way and they couldn't recognize it. Their eyes were on the problem and therefore they couldn't recognize when the answer was being sent. Don't let that be your story. The answer is being sent. It's right in front of you, but you can't see the answer because you're focused on the problem. We don't want that, Lord. We want to have our eyes on you. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. He said, it is I. It is I. He said, it is I. I am. That's the same as like saying, I am. The I am that I am. The great I am is here. It's what he said to Moses. Whom do you say I should tell them sent me? He said, I am that I am. He said, it is I. The great I am. Hallelujah. And Peter answered and he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's you, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. First of all, I want to say something. Just because you might be in a massive storm right now does not mean necessarily that you're out of the will of God. Now, could it be? Absolutely. If you're in disobedience, you're in disobedience. But if you're in obedience unto the Lord and there's a storm that's rising out on the horizon, doesn't necessarily mean that it's you're out of the will. It might be simply because you are in the will of God. And the attack of the enemy is contrary to try to discourage you, to try to get you to stop, to quit, to say, you know what, I must be something that must be wrong, and you just stop pursuing what is important, what is of the Lord. There will always be pushbacks. There will always be assignments that come against the will of God. It's important to know that you are in the will of God. Once you know that you're in the will of God and the storm rises up, when the storm rises up, don't let it steal your focus. Amen?
I could not wait to share this news with you all. The Lord is doing incredible things at this ministry, and it is because of partnership with each and every one of you. You know, just a few quick testimonies, but we've got testimonies of people getting saved, rededicating their lives to the Lord, people coming off of addiction, all types of addiction, people getting healed physically. I am telling you, the power of God is present in this ministry. And I just wanted to say, you know what? You are a part of what God is doing. This is a kingdom-minded ministry. So every seed that you sow, I want you to know with every fiber of your being that you are planting in good soil. So thank you for your partnership as we continue to reach the souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's get back into the word.
The pathway that God has you on is going to require greater spiritual muscles. And the only way that spiritual muscles get developed is through the storm. Not everything, not always going around every storm, but going right on through it, knowing that because of Christ in you, you're going to rise up in faith and in strength and in victory, right? Amen? And in Isaiah 43:2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, in other words, turbulent times, he says, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. You're not going to drown in that situation. You're not going to be taken, overtaken, and overcome by the power of the enemy. It's impossible. Somebody say impossible. It is impossible for the enemy to outwit the power and the presence of God. I get passionate about that, yes, because I see too many believers that are taking the bait and they let fear just rise up within them. But there's victory all around. They've seen the hand of God as well, but they're being played for the fool. No, and not on our watch. When you pass through the waters, not if, when. When you pass through the waters, it says, I will be with you. I don't care what's going on. If the I will be with you is with you, then what do you have to lose? I will be with you. The great I am will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Because he's always the fourth man in the fire. This wasn't just for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is always a fourth man in the fire if you just keep your eyes on Christ. Just as they weren't burned and they didn't even smell like smoke, neither shall you. Amen? So just because you're facing some massive storm does not mean that you're out of the will of God. It actually might be the exact opposite. You're in the will of God. Do you know that God uses storms in our lives to break us from human reliance? When you rely upon your own strength, you've seen the hand of God move. You know his way. You know he's faithful. But if there's still too much self in you and you're still relying on the arm of flesh, you're still relying on yourself, God will use the storm to break you of self-reliance. Does anyone hear what I'm saying? We do not want to be resisting the will of God. Surrender is always the key. Surrender is always the way. Amen? So where we were, verse 28. And Peter answered him and he said, Lord, if it's you, it's okay to ask the if questions. If it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's you, command me to come. He's saying, Lord, make me do it. Lord, if it's you, give me a word. Say something. Show me. Do something on the inside of me. I'm sure that everyone in this place, in this room, has prayed something similar to that. And you've seen God move. Why? Because he's a God of love. Because he cares about you. And he knows exactly where we are and what we need. Right? Faith always requires a word. He needed a word. Faith requires a word. When you have a word from God, then you can faithfully move forward. If you don't have a word from God, don't move forward. But if you have a word from God, then you can faithfully move forward. He was saying, Lord, give me a word. Lord, help me to know. But he was praying this. He was speaking this unto Jesus. It would be like us praying this unto the Lord. Not running to every person that you know and say, I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. That's immaturity. I'm not saying you can never ask someone for prayer and nor ask someone, hey, just if God shows you or tells you something, that's great. But if that is your, is that how you walk? Is that how you operate? Then that's immaturity. If you're always running to somebody and say, I need a word, well, get the word from God. Let him speak to you. Otherwise, what's your relationship like? Do you have one? Because we need to have a relationship with Christ. We need to develop that relationship with Christ that when he speaks, we hear him. Faith requires a word. Faith requires a word. So that when I move, I know I'm moving under the unction of the Spirit of God because he's spoken it. And when he speaks it, everything he speaks is going to come to pass. And him speaking it may come in different forms. You may hear it very clearly, but you heard it. You may have read. And this word jumped out, so to speak, it's highlighted. So therefore, your spirit received it, and you know God is directing me. He may have just given you that word in your inner witness. You just know. It wasn't a clear word. You just know that you know this is God's movement, his moving in my life. Regardless of how that word came, how it sounded, or how it came, you know that you received instruction. A word from the Lord. So faith requires a word. He said, Lord, if it's you, Command me to come to you. He didn't step out. Peter didn't step out on a good idea. Oh, you know, there are many that will step out on a good idea. This is a great idea. And I feel so good about it. Well, two minuses, because everything that feels good and every good idea may not be God's idea. And it may not come from the Lord at all. It might just come from you. It might come from the enemy, but it might just come from you. Right? So we want to make sure that our quote-unquote good ideas are really God ideas. Right? That's the only place that there's going to be any kind of fruit anyway, is when it's his idea, not ours. Right? So when we, to say, Lord, he said, you know, if it's you, command me to come. He was saying, Lord, I need that reassurance. He was asking for a word. He was asking, God, I need that clarity. I don't want to take this step. I'm not stepping out of the boat. I'm not stepping out of the boat because I know I'm going to sink. And he was right. He's right. He would have sunk. Unless we hear from the Lord and he gives us direction to do a certain thing, we're going to sink. If God is not in it, we're going to sink. It's going to fail. We don't want our good ideas. We want his great idea, right? Amen? So he didn't step out on a good idea. He stepped out on a word. So when we ask God for a word and he gives us that direction, that clarity, we step out, no matter how ridiculous it might sound or be. We step out, amen? And when God gives you a command like this, he's shifting you from just being a spectator to a water walker. He's shifting your mindset to believe God. It takes focus. You got to be so focused on what he has told us to do, what he's doing, right? Verse 29, let's go to verse 29. And so he said, come. He got his word. Lord, if it's you, tell me. Command me to come to you. Come. And the rest is up to us. The rest was up to him. Come. It was his responsibility to step out of that boat. It was his responsibility to keep his eyes on Jesus. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is not a fairy tale. This wasn't put in here just by mistake. It's real. It truly happened. And if it happened once, then therefore it'll happen again. And it can happen again. Whether it's a literal stepping out onto the water or whether it's a symbolic stepping out onto the water, but yet it happens time after time after time. And we have many testimonies, I'm quite sure, personally, of this taking place. So he said, come. And Peter had come out of the boat and he walked onto the water to Jesus. But when he saw the accusations, when he heard the accusations, when he saw the mistreatment, when he saw the potential downfall, when he saw all the opposition, when he saw the wind that became boisterous. But when we see all the things that come against us, when we respond to the one word that God gave, of course you see all the opposition. Of course you're going to feel all the enemy's negativity. He doesn't want you to be a water walker. He doesn't want you to experience the supernatural power of God. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. It's always a choice to keep our eyes on Jesus. He was afraid, and he began to sink. And so fear will always cause us to sink. Fear will always, this kind of fear, not the fear of God, but the fear of failure, the fear of man, you know, the fear of rejection, all that and much more, will always cause us to sink, to fail. And it's so important we recognize it. So he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Well, praise God that he knew enough to call on the name of the Lord to save me. And praise God, the Lord did save him. But he wanted him to have so much more. He wanted him to experience that supernatural miracle of walking on the water for a little longer. He immediately stretched out his hand and he caught him. Of course he did. He's never going to let you fall. He immediately stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Doubt is a faith killer. And the moment that you experience doubt, you hear, you feel it, cast it out. Tell it to go. It's sent on an assignment from the enemy. He says, oh, have you a little faith? Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Everything stopped. When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. It was a test. The wind was rising up. The storm was becoming worse because it was trying to stop this man from walking in the miraculous. And what is different from this story and our lives? Nothing really. Nothing really. Because as long as Peter's eyes were locked on Jesus, he was walking on water. It says he walked on the water. So he actually walked on the water. Maybe it was just a couple of steps, but he still walked on the water. He saw the potential. He experienced it. Have you experienced the same water walking faith? And then the storm grew worse. The moment that he looked down, wind and the waves, fear gripped his heart. And he began to sink. Lord, we never want to be people that step out in faith, but then we allow the enemy to trick us, to be robbed from. When he was on the water, the storm didn't change. It didn't change until he got into the boat. So then, therefore, while Peter was walking on the water, the storm was still acting up, but he was looking at Jesus because he said, give me a word. And he said, come. So his eyes were on Jesus while the storm was active. The storm was still active, but the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and onto the storm, that's when his faith failed. The storm was still the same, but the minute his focus changed from Jesus to the wind and the waves is when he lost. He missed out. Our focus is so important. During the storm, our focus is always important. But during the storm, how important is it to not lose, to not miss out on what he wants us, the Lord wants us to have? Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Because the storm didn't change, the focus changed. 1 and 2, Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The environment was chaotic before he stepped out, and it was chaotic while he was walking on the water. It was chaotic before and during. Sometimes when you step out in faith, it's chaotic. You step out in faith, it's still chaotic. It's going to change. It'll shift. But the problem is too many people, they quit, they allow fear, they allow doubt to creep in there, and their eyes remove, they remove their eyes from Jesus onto the problem, and what would have lasted just a moment longer ended up stealing from them. Just because you step out in faith and the storm didn't stop, just because you stepped out, people go, oh, well, I stepped out and it's still happening. Don't be, oh, you of little faith. Don't be like that. Just because you step out in faith, you step out of the boat, and the storm's still acting up. There's still problems, and it's like, when? You know, you're in faith. You're standing in faith. Exactly. That storm must obey you. Don't take your eyes off Christ and onto the storm, because the day and the hour, the moment comes about where that storm has to obey your voice. Jesus was merciful and he helped him. He said, oh Lord, help me. And he did. Got him out. And the minute they both stepped into the boat, everything stopped. Everything stopped. There are times where Every one of us, I'm sure, have experienced this, where you stepped out in faith. God asked you to do something. You had a word from the Lord, and you knew it was the Lord. You stepped out in faith. It was crazy. It was chaotic, but you did what he told you to do, and it still continued to be crazy and chaotic, but I'm believing in faith, the but. You stood firm, and you didn't take your eyes off Jesus. You stood firm on the word that will never fail you. You stood firm on the truth that never, ever returns unto us void. And you saw the faithfulness of God. And all throughout that time, not only was there an answer to prayer, but you became a prayer warrior. You became strong in the Lord. You recognized that everything that was sent for you for evil, God turned it and worked it for good. You recognized that not only did you receive an answer to prayer, but you also received a Holy Ghost infusion that you are not even the same person that you used to be. There's a victory. Huge victory in store for you. And every time that that's taken place, and every time that that's your testimony, what happens is you rise up in strength and victory, and every giant is being destroyed because the faith of God in you will do it. You keep your eyes on Jesus, amen? So our breakthrough, our victory, is directly tied to what we're looking at, to what we're focused on. If I'm focused on worry, 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 then my breakthrough is not going to actually happen because I'm focused on the wrong thing. But if I'm focused on the fact that God is faithful, then my breakthrough is mine. It's coming about, right? So your breakthrough is directly tied to what you're staring at, to what you're thinking upon. Somebody hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Looking at problems only cause you to sink. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you got to look at the situation, you got to assess. But getting stuck in your problem is not going to help you, right? So we want to gaze on the Lord. We want to focus our attention on Jesus. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus. So just as Peter walked on water, so shall we. Just as Peter recognized he needed a word from the Lord, so do we. He needed a word to walk out in faith, so do we. And God's faithful to supply that word. He'll supply it every single time. Enforcers, arise. God carries power, militant power, to destroy every army that tries to come against you. Every assignment, every tactic, every scheme, every wicked agenda. Jesus has qualified us. That blood that he shed on that cross qualified us. What for what? To be partakers? The Spirit of the living God is the power of God, and it works. We have to choose to partner with the Lord. We are enforcing the Word of God, the name of Jesus.